Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Fairbanks police are not saying whether a body found in a vacant apartment is suspected to be that of a local woman who went missing last week. City spokesperson Teal Soden does confirm that the search for 30-year-old Kristen Marie Huntington has been suspended and that investigation of her disappearance led officers to look inside an empty Hamilton Acres neighborhood apartment where the body was found Sunday night. Soden says the remains have been sent to the state medical examiner in Anchorage.
We expect the autopsy to be completed late this week or early next week, and at that time we will have positive identification that we can then release to the public.
Soden says no additional information is being released, including whether or not the death was a homicide and if there's a suspect. She also would not confirm if the empty apartment where the body was found is in the same building where Huntington rents. Huntington was reported missing Friday after she failed to show up for work for 2 days. The pilot of a twin-engine plane operated by Raven Air Group made an emergency landing Sunday afternoon at Fairbanks International Airport when the aircraft's landing gear malfunctioned. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Airport Fire and Police Chief Aaron Danielson says none of the 7 passengers aboard the Piper Navajo were injured when the aircraft skidded to a stop around 1 p.m. Sunday.
The pilot did a great job. It coasted to a good landing with little damage to the aircraft and safety to all the passengers and crew involved.
Danielson says the flight was en route to Galena but was diverted back to Fairbanks when the pilot realized there was a problem with the landing gear on the right side of the aircraft.
They couldn't get their landing gear down as they're approaching Galena, and so they returned to Fairbanks for their emergency landing.
The chief says the pilot flew past the control tower a few times after he got to Fairbanks International at about 12:30 p.m. to have tower personnel confirm that the landing gear was indeed stuck.
Because, you know, they can't see underneath their own aircraft.
Danielson says the pilot and tower kept in constant communication to plan and prepare for the landing. He says pilots train for how to set the plane down in such circumstances.
They generally put it down real light, try to keep any part that's not supported by landing gear off the runway as long as possible and put it down as gently as possible.
Danielson says that's exactly what the pilot did. But audio recorded by a passenger and uploaded onto social media suggests it was still a harrowing experience. A statement issued by Raven Sunday says the aircraft's right aileron and flap were lightly damaged during the emergency landing. The company says the aircraft will be out of service until it's repaired, inspected, and test flown. The statement says Raven is in communication with both the Federal Aviation Administration and the National Transportation Safety Board for help in determining why the gear malfunctioned. Spokespersons for the NTSB and Raven didn't return calls Monday afternoon for additional information, including the answer to the question, did the passengers finally get to Galena? In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Restoration of the historic Sternwheeler Nenana and the Mary Sy Recreation Center are among a long list of projects before the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. KUAC's Robin reports on the capital improvement plan.
During the KIPP nomination period last fall, 94 projects were nominated by the public, borough staff, and the school district. A resolution before the Borough Assembly on Thursday evening has been trimmed to 66 projects. Borough Mayor Bryce Ward's staff has put all the projects and their descriptions on a special Fairbanks North Star Borough website, fnsb.us/CIP, for capital improvement project. Assemblymember Aaron Legiski says he's approaching the whole list skeptically.
I don't want to see the government grow. I don't want to see the FMR funding for the KIPP to enlarge our government. So I want to see only projects funded that will maintain existing buildings, possibly replace worn-out buildings, but nothing new.
Member Marna Sanford wants to see identified maintenance problems like school roofs move to the top of the list and major construction like a new multi-million-dollar aquatic center or library remodel put on hold until state funding could be added.
Those projects that were proposed deserve some face time. Do I think that they need to be passed this year? Probably not. I think until we figure out what's going on in Juneau that we're going to have a different feel for big capital projects.
One of those larger projects is the SS Nenana, the wooden river boat that has been on display at Pioneer Park since it opened as the A67 Centennial Exhibition 52 years ago. Assemblymember Jimmy Cash says there are 3 proposals dealing with the Nenana, but none of them are to actually restore the beloved landmark.
There's one to remove the diorama and put it in storage, one to put a cover over the boat, and then one to cut the sternwheeler off and put on display and then demolish the rest of the boat. That's not going to happen, because if it did, I think the community would lose their minds.
Cash and Assemblymember Frank Tomaszewski have submitted a completely separate resolution recommending restoration of the riverboat be turned over to the volunteer group Friends of the SS Nenana, which is slowly raising money through donations. Assemblymember Leah Berman-Williams wrote in an email message that she's working to amend the KIPP resolution to include an SS Nenana restoration project. The next phase in the plan is analysis by the borough's technical team, who will score each of these projects based on each facility's current condition and how much future use it might get. Safety and required functions like schools will be factors. The team will prioritize the list into projects that should be addressed right away in the first 4 years, and other projects will be pushed to a later timeline. After scoring, the borough assembly will get another crack at approving the final plan later this year. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Oil prices spiked after the U.S. killed an Iranian military leader earlier this month, and again last week when Iran retaliated by firing missiles at a U.S. base in Iraq. But crude, especially Alaska oil, is now lower than it was before the rise in tensions. As the Alaska Energy Desk's Rasha McChesney reports, the oil market has changed.
Richard Nephew is a senior research scholar at the Center on Global Energy Policy at Columbia University. But he used to work for the U.S. government at the State Department. There, he was the lead sanctions person during the negotiations with Iran under President Barack Obama. Nephew says there are three reasons the oil market isn't as reactive to geopolitics in the Middle East as it used to be. The first, right now, there's enough supply that there's kind of a sense that small, short-term disruptions can be handled. There's enough oil coming from other sources, like Alaska and other parts of the U.S., Venezuela, Libya.
You know, there is enough oil that's just sort of floating around that disruptions in any one of those places can be made up for by supply in many other places.
The second, global demand for crude oil isn't growing like it used to. And finally, recent disruptions have been short-lived. After the attack in September, Saudi Arabia brought its oil production back online within a few days.
Both Trump and the Iranians said, but we're going to leave the military responses here so you see things relax.
Nephew says he thinks the people driving the oil markets have gotten complacent. They worry about the possibility of a major disruption in supply in the Middle East, but
they've kind of internalized this idea, but that probably won't happen.
Nephew says that false confidence is a big problem right now because the expectation is that there will be these sharp swings in prices and then things will calm down. But he points out that while Iran may have discounted further military action, there is still the very real possibility that the country could retaliate. And if that happens, if, for instance, Iran were to shut down the Strait of Hormuz that separates it from the Arabian Peninsula, more than 20% of the world's supply of oil comes through there.
That's when you're going to see a tremendous rise in prices, and it probably will be sustained for a pretty long period of time.
To balance Alaska's budget, prices would have to hit $91 a barrel and stay there. From Alaska's Energy Desk in Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
All right! Woo!
It was a three-peat for Petit as Girdwood musher Nicholas Petit won his third consecutive Copper Basin 300 sled dog race in Glen Allen early yesterday afternoon. Video recorded by his kennel staff shows a frosty Petit and eight dogs trotting across the finish line to again claim the first-place trophy. Petit was followed just 16 minutes later by Eureka musher Brent Sass in second place. Two Rivers mushers Ryan Olson and Ali Zirkel claim third and fourth place. 11 mushers are listed as finishing, with 13 scratched from the race, during which teams encountered temperatures as low as minus 60 along portions of the 300-mile loop trail. I'm Dan Bross.